All right, I've got, it looks like it is 7 o'clock, so let's begin. And before we have our opening prayer and then get into a little bit of devotion for tonight, next Wednesday night you will have a special keynote speaker with you. All right, I'm not going to tell you who it is because you're just going to have to come. I will tell you a little, this particular person has been here before. Has even shared in a different, not in a Wednesday night format like this, I don't think, but I know has shared devotionals in other settings, not Dr. Blank. So it's not Dr. Blank. I'm convinced that you're going to be blessed with what he has to share with you next Wednesday night. So I will tell you that honestly, his ability to share what God puts on his heart is in part, you bear part of the responsibility how well he does. Because if you don't pray him up all week long, then don't fuss if he doesn't do a good job. All right? But if you pray for him every day that God will anoint him and allow the Spirit to speak through him, then you can probably come and know that he's probably going to be on fire for y'all next Wednesday night because he's prayed up and ready to go. So anyway, next Wednesday night, special speaker. I think you'll enjoy it. Well, let's open with a word of prayer, and then we've got some thoughts to share about the Word of God. Lord, we thank you for this time that we have together. Because truth is, Lord, what we do on Wednesday nights, Lord, we can't get in hardly any of the format where we come together and we take time, we pause, we begin to dig into your word and allow your word to speak to us. And sometimes that word brings us great challenge. Sometimes it moves us to better than we're doing. Sometimes it provides comfort for us. But Lord, your word always is sufficient, whatever the need is. And so as we study your word tonight and as we spend some moments in prayer together, we ask, Lord, that you be a part of everything that transpires in here. Because we want to make sure that we bring you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I've got several verses that we're going to look at tonight. So keep your Bibles handy. And if you didn't bring a Bible, that's okay. Grab a pew Bible. Pretend, and I'll pretend I didn't see you grab it and that you brought your own Bible with you. But we're going, first of all, to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 12, Hebrews 4 and 12. What are they doing, League? If you get it, you stand up or something? Maybe that's what we should all do. That way I'd know everybody was there. Anyway, Hebrews 4 and 12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." So what's the point? What's the point? What's being conveyed to us in those words? What's the point? Cuts through it all, doesn't it? I mean, it gets right in there to the meat of the issue. Whatever the issue is, it's living. It's powerful. It's powerful. I assume that's at least part of the reason why we read it, right? We believe that it is, in fact, living and active. All right, go to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55 and 10. And Mr. Maxey, you cannot quote this from memory. You have to look it up too. Because I know as a good Gideon, and Mr. Don, you guys probably have these verses committed to memory. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me void, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. What's the point? It's powerful. Yeah. Yeah. It's going to do what God wants it to do. It's powerful. You know, this idea that whatever it is that God wants it to accomplish, it's going to do. And it's just the Word. All right, let's all go to Genesis chapter 1. This time we're all going to read in unison together. Genesis 1. And we're going to read the first three words of verse 3. Everybody ready? And God said. All right. And God said. Or something similar to that in whatever version you're reading. It's real close to that. All right. If you jump down to verse 6, it says, and God said. And if you go down to verse 9, it says, and God said. Verse 14, and God said. Verse 20, and God said. Verse 24, and God said, and then in verse 26, and God said, and each time it said, well, it says, and God said, let there be, and whatever it is that God wanted it to be, remember, it became. I mean, this is how we understand, I mean, that's the depth, the power of the Word of God that we study. We believe that it's that powerful, that it is creative, that we are, but we're all here as part of that because God created us. He spoke humanity into being. I mean, powerful stuff, right? Now, isn't it interesting that of all the things that, I guess, to help us understand the incarnation of God becoming a human being and yet being God, one of the ways, at least in the Gospel of John, to help us understand this great mystery of incarnation was this. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and again, at least in the translation I'm reading, I suspect in most all the translations, the Word there has a capital W because it's trying to tell you something. Okay? It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And then down in verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So of all the things to help us understand God and who God is, one of the things that John said, at least in the very beginning, is he says that Jesus is the Word become incarnate, taking on flesh and blood. He became flesh and blood for us. And the power then of even Jesus' words, right? We know that over and over. There's just example after example. Peace be still. Storm over, right? Lazarus, come forth. In the tomb, 4 days, dead as doornail, but he comes walking out. I'm thinking that's pretty powerful. I don't know about you, but I'm thinking dead man, been dead a long time, comes walking out. I'm convinced there's some power in those words. Now, those words, I mean, think about it. I mean, you know, those words could condemn us, right? For there is none righteous. You're part of none, and I'm part of none, and we're unrighteous. There's none righteous, no, not one. And yet, rather than condemn us, it says that the Word that became flesh from the cross said, Father, forgive them. Wow. And if you understand anything about forgiveness and sin at all, you understand the power of those words right there, Father, forgive them. I mean, I think that is about as awesome a display of the power of God as there ever can be when in right then and there, forgiveness, signed, sealed, and delivered through the incarnate Word of God. All right, so when we say that the Word of God is powerful, okay, it's living and active, it cuts right through to the meat of the issue, that it's going to accomplish the purpose for which God sent it. The words that said, and let God said, let there be, and it was, and all those things. So we talk power. I mean, this is good stuff, right? This is why we come to the Bible, I would like to think. Now, it surprises me at times that I don't come to it more than I do, though. Sometimes, even in my daily devotion, it's more of a trudgery that I know I'm supposed to, and so I do it rather than come running as quickly as I can because of the power. I don't understand that about me at times. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but then in my fallen sinful nature, that screws up a lot of stuff, right? Even when I know it's powerful. Now, the truth is, I think sometimes we shy away from it because we know just how powerful it is. We understand that when we get in here and all of a sudden through the Word, God says, here I am in my holiness and my righteousness, and we look at ourselves and it's like, ooh, this isn't good. And so it's like, I'll just stay away. And so I think sometimes we almost back away from getting deep into the Word because we're afraid of what that Word's going to reveal in our lives. But the glory is, of course, God not only had the power to forgive us, but he's got the power then to transform our lives into the image of his Son. Wow. That he said, my word won't return unto me void. So why is it like pulling teeth? Sorry, Dr. George. I started that sentence before I looked at you. That probably wasn't a good thing to do. why is it like pulling teeth to get people come out to study the Word? And I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. And I've already confessed to you, sometimes I struggle with it. So I don't. But I, you know, if it's that powerful, and I believe that it is, I know that it is, it seems so difficult sometimes for people to want to study the Word. Maybe it's because you got to think when you're reading the Word, and thinking's hard. Maybe it's some of the stuff is really old and foreign to us, and you got to dig deep, and you got to do more than just, you know, it's not just something that you can download real quick and read a few pages, and then, you know, sometimes you got to dig a little deeper than that.
I think it's because we don't want to do what it says.
Probably a lot of times we don't want to do what it says. Maybe a whole, I think. But the truth is, as powerful it is as it is, and that's what we profess, right? And when you start looking around and you start realizing how that biblical literacy is going down the toilet right now, it is amazing the things people don't know, even some of the most basic of things, they just don't know. And it's not because, at least for us, I mean, there are probably, there's several countries that they can say, well, we just don't have enough Bibles to read and study, and they would be true. But that's not our issue, is it? I mean, we've got the Bibles, all right? So maybe it's just the children's fault, right? Maybe we've raised up a bunch of hoodlum children, and they just don't get it. I don't know. Let's blame it on them. Or at least we might want to do that Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. I think we can't really blame it on them, not when we read Deuteronomy chapter 6. And we'll start with verse 4. We'd like to blame them for just not being as intent on this as they ought to be, but we can, I don't think. Deuteronomy 6 and 4 starts out with, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. These commandments that I give to you today are to be on your hearts. And then verse 7 starts in the NIV, impress. In other words, this is something, you know, teach them, but impress. I mean, this is a word that really conveys the idea of intense action, okay? Impress. Not just kind of, what do you think? Should we read a verse or two? No, impress it upon your children, it says. Impress them on your children. Talk about these commands when you sit at home. All right. Maybe turn the TV off. Maybe just mute the TV during commercial and talk about it. All right, if nothing else. All right. When you walk along the road, in this case, when you're driving, when you're taking a trip to Sumter, impress it upon your children. Talk Jesus. When you lie down, in other words, tell them a bedtime story. And when you get up, tell them a breakfast story. It would seem to me that they're trying to say, it doesn't matter where you are, what you're doing, you need to be talking to your kids about Jesus or about God and about God's, about what it means to love God. Because it says, you know, when you're sitting at home, when you're walking, when you're on a trip, when before bed, when you get up, that sounds like most of the time. And then it says, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. And maybe we really ought to do that. I mean, maybe it would really help us understand, you know, that we really need to live these things out. Maybe if we had them stapled to our forehead, that would work. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. In other words, these commands about loving the Lord with all that you are, he said, these have got to be ever on your mind and ever in front of you, no matter where you are or where you look. These things should be on your mind. Wow, that's a lot. All right, so the primary responsibility of teaching children lies in the family. It's parents first and foremost, without question, without doubt. As parents, it is our responsibility. It's not the Sunday school teacher's responsibility. It's not the youth leader's responsibility. It is our responsibility as parents to impress upon these commands on our children first and foremost. Now, the church has a role. It is always and should always be a supporting role. Okay? And that doesn't mean it's not important. But it does mean it's a supporting role. First of all, as a church, we should support the parents. In other words, we should provide an environment for the parents to continue to grow in their own relationship with the Lord, because if they're not growing, it's hard to teach their children to grow. All right? So we need to provide a format in which moms and dads, they can grow in their faith and they can experience the fullness of Christ in their own lives. Secondly, of course, we also provide training and learning to our children in a variety of ways. And you all know them as easily as I know them, and you could quote them. And of course, well, we do Sunday school. We not only do it for adults, but we do it for children, and we do it for a reason. All right? We have children's church. We want our children not only to get taught the Bible, but to worship God on their level. We have youth meetings taking place where they're learning about faith and how to take the next step in faith. We have league and all these things. So we provide support for families because the Word of God is so powerful, right? I mean, it's living and active and it's creative and it's, wow, it's going to accomplish what God wants. I mean, you know, and it's powerful stuff. It's life-changing stuff. So we want our children to know. Well, release time, and by the way, I want to say, and this has all been introduction for what I really want to say, I want to say thank you, first of all. There were many, I'm sure, involved in what took place Monday night and getting it ready. I do know there was one individual that went above and beyond, and I am very grateful, and I thank you. For everything, for the invites of getting the Clarendon Christian Learning Center people here by organizing and getting the meeting put together. All right? but release time. We had, I think there were, 19 letters that went out to churches, and we had at least 8 churches present. There were over 70 in attendance and over 30 from TSMC. All right, so I was like, this is really cool. But release time. Children Learning Center. I mean, isn't this neat? I mean, for right now, anyway, they can learn the Bible, which we believe is really powerful, right? I mean, I've went to great pains, I think, to try to say, yes, this is good, all right? But they can study the Bible during school hours. There's three really minor requirements. First of all, you know, it's got to be voluntary. We can't force them to do it. Okay, fine. All right. But if you make it good, fun, and exciting, they'll want to do it. All right. So you can't force them. It has to be voluntary. It can't take place on school property. Okay, that's no big deal either. And you can't use government funds to pay for it. And that's no big deal either. Because the truth is, it is my conviction that if the 19 churches that received letters would all just get on board and give a little bit, we'd have the funding to pull this thing off. All right, so I don't think funding is an issue. The Lord owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and when He's ready, He'll slaughter a couple and we'll pay for this thing. All right, I really believe that. Now, God uses His people, and sometimes He has to slap His people around a little bit to have them turn loose of their pocketbook, but God can do that too, all right? I'm not worried about the funding. I really am not. But I find it interesting. And I find this almost funny and ironic, except that I think it's sad. I've probably even been a part, bemoaning how that, oh my goodness, they've taken prayer out of school. Well, first of all, you can't take prayer out of school. As long as you give a test, kids are going to be praying. All right? What they took out was teacher-led prayer, okay? And there's some teachers that I absolutely would do a great job of leading prayer, but there's some other teachers out there that, well, I'm not sure they're going to do such a great job anyway. All right? Let's just be honest. All right? We bemoan that they have taken prayer out of school, and yet there are all kinds of school districts all over our country that have the ability to go in and teach the Bible to kids in school and pray with them during the school so we can get prayer back in, and pray with them, and yet how many school districts in our country today don't have a release time program? And District 3 is one of them. District 2, I believe, right? Isn't that the one that does Manning? Isn't that 2? They've got it and been doing it. In fact, last year they had over 750 student participants in their release time program. Wow. And 50 students actually got to take it for credit. High school students got to take it for credit. I don't know about you, but I'm thinking, that's, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say, and I don't mean to be, rather than bemoaning how bad things is, maybe it's time to just put our hands to the plow and get this thing done. Someone asked me just yesterday, what do we need to do now? And my response was, we just need to do it. We can twiddle our thumbs. We can look around, wonder who's going to step up, or we can decide. Now, I'm not saying that there's not lots of work to be done, and this isn't for the faint of heart. But we're talking about teaching the Bible, right? And didn't we just, we're told to impress these commands on our children. We know that the Word is creative. It forgives. We know that it's going to accomplish what it's living and active. I mean, it's that powerful, so we want to do this. And so long as it's legal, and it is legal right now, and who knows how long that will be the case, but it is for today, I believe the time is now. Now, I want us to take some special time of prayer tonight just for this. We will pray for those that are sick here in a little bit, like we always do at the end. This is extra prayer time. But there are some things that we really do need to pray about. We as a group, and by group I'm saying here in East Clarendon, School District 3, we need a person or a couple of people that really will step up and be the organizer, to be the one that says, hey, we're going to meet on Tuesday at 7 o'clock. And here's what we're going to talk about. Because someone has to be a leader, right? And the truth is, I believe God is already laying it on somebody's heart. Maybe they'll be from within us, or maybe they won't be. There were 8 other churches there, and there were other people there, and there were certainly some people that I think probably wanted to be there, couldn't be there. You know, I don't know who it is at this point, but I believe we need to pray very specifically that God is going to burden that heart and not, oh, Lord, let them know at least by January. No, no, no. Lord, let them know by next Wednesday. Let's get this done. Because every day we're not teaching the Bible, there's kids out there that aren't going to understand some of the most beautiful and wonderful truths of the Word of God. They're never going to realize that even though they are unrighteous and they know they're sinful, they're never going to know that the Lord loves them anyway, has a plan for their lives if somebody doesn't step up and get this done. All right, so we need to very specific, Lord, whoever it is that you've called, and I believe, you know, whoever it is, you know, let them know. And like I said, maybe it's one or maybe it's two people that will work together closely. I don't know. But let's pray for those people. Hey, let's just pray conviction on them. I don't think it's me, so let's pray conviction on them. turn the camera off. Nah, just joking. But let's pray. Secondly, we need to pray for the right type of steering committee to come together. Because when you're making a lot of decisions, you can't have 70 people and make decisions. There needs to be a steering or an executive committee. I don't know, whatever you want to call the committee. But a group of 6 to 10 or so that would get together and start working through the nuts and bolts of what it's going to take to get this done. And so we need to pray that just as much as God calls out the one or two people to lead this, that God will begin to stir in the hearts of 6 to 8, 10 people that, hey, I don't only want to be involved on occasion, but I want to make myself available to put the hours in to get this thing done. All right, so that's the second thing I want to pray about. Then I want us to pray for area churches. I really, you know, and I know, you know, there's some extra stuff back still in the fellowship hall. If it hasn't been removed, it was there this morning, a few of these left. So if you haven't got one, you should go get one. It's just a little informational track, and the Manning Group has put together. That kind of, you know, what they basically said is they've cut a lot of the forest out for us already. All we got to do is jump in behind them. They've done so much of the work, and they're willing to help out any way and all ways that they possibly can. Wow. I mean, I think, you know, the only thing left is God to give us a kick in the seat and the pants to get going here. Really, I mean, they're making it easy for us. And they said they would meet with us, with our group, a committee that's trying to put this together and be able to help us work through the issues that need to be done. So grab one of those back there if you have it. But we need to pray for our churches. I got to tell you, 8 was more than I thought, but it would have been great if 19 representatives would have showed up. Because it's that important. And I believe everything that we've said tonight about the Word and about getting this done, I think all of our churches are... So we just need to pray that God start working in our churches to get involved, however. And there's a variety of ways. We need to pray. One, that they'll be interested, because this steering committee then needs to probably hold some meetings with all the church anybody that wants to come sort of meetings where they can outline, okay, here's what we've done. You know, we want to share with you what how we see this thing unfolding so that the churches will have information and can also, hey, you know, and have time to interact. All right? So, one, that the churches will want to get involved, all of our churches. Secondly, that we're going to need volunteers. All right? And now we're getting down to the rubber meets the road. We're all busy. I know that. But, hey, you know, sometimes even teaching the Word of God is worth the time it takes to teach it. All right? So, volunteers, and we're going to need some cash. Going to need some money. I still believe out of 19 churches we can fund this thing. I really believe that. I'm not worried about that part of it, but we're going to have to turn loose of it. And the churches are going to have to get involved in order to get excited about it, in order to make it a part of their giving. All right? The fourth thing I want us to very specifically pray for, I want us to pray for the kids that are soon going to hear the word. Because it's going to accomplish the purpose for which God sends it. Now, I know that they did not get, over in Manning, they did not get to 750 students in a year overnight. But you know what? If they had never started, they got nobody. So we start, and we start. It's a gradual process. I understand that. But if we don't ever start, there's going to be kids that need to hear the word aren't going to hear the word. And I believe God will hold us accountable for that. All right, before we pray, does anybody want to jump in and add anything to what's been said before we have the prayer for these four things? All right, then that means you are ready to pray. Mr. Maxey, I'm going to ask if you would open our prayer and pray very specifically that God would lay it on the heart of one or two people to step forward and be a part of leading our effort. And then after Mr. Maxey prays, I'm going to ask Gray, would you pray that a group of 6 to 10 people would come together as a steering committee for this endeavor. And then I'm going to ask Trey, I'm going to ask you to pray for our churches, brother, that our churches will really, well, we need to be burdened by this. We need to be excited by this. It's not just something that we all feel, oh, my goodness. You know, yes, we probably should have already done it before now, but that's not the point. Let's get excited about it right now. Let's pray the churches get excited about it. All right? And then I will close by praying for the students that will soon be getting Bible training. So let's spend some time praying together. Mr. Maxey, get us going. Lord, you've opened the door, so now give us the faith to walk on through. Lord, as we have joined our hearts together in prayer, lifting this before you, asking, Lord, your blessing upon it, asking you, Lord, to stir the hearts of some specific people within our churches and communities that truly have the abilities, the spiritual gifts upon which to lead us in this endeavor. And so, Lord, we're trusting that you're going to tug upon their hearts in the next couple of days, and that, Lord, we just pray that they will embrace that calling, and Lord, that as they do, may we as churches and as believers, may we support them, encourage them, and be involved. But Lord, we're especially praying for the children right now, because, Lord, there's just so many children that do not have the opportunity to be exposed, to hear, to experience your word in their life. And we believe that this is yet another way upon which that is possible. And we believe that even through this effort, as we share your love with these children, that lives will be changed. Lord, that's the guiding vision, purpose that you put us here to do, is to share your love. So, Lord, we want to do it as best that we can. And so we pray for these children. May their hearts be ready. And, Lord, may their hearts be moved by your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I only have one prayer request tonight that came in, and it came from Susan Anderson. She said that Noah Griffith, a 24-year-old young man, has been diagnosed with cancer, and so she wanted us to certainly remember him tonight. So Noah Griffith. Others tonight. Eddie has an unspoken, and I suspect there's several unspoken. Okay. Remember Shane Corson. Well, we don't have too many tonight, apparently, but you're being blessed, because one of the neat things that was a prayer booth that was at the back to school bash, and prayer requests were gathered. And I assume that it was said that we were going to pray for them. So tonight we are. I want to ask, as you split up into groups of three or four, that each group will come by and pick up. Some will have names. Some will just have a letter of the first name. But you know, it doesn't matter whether you have the name or not. God knows who you're praying for. So each group needs to pick up one of these and be sure to pray for those listed on the paper. So as you divide up into groups of three and four, come by, see me, and I will give you a slip of paper.